Well, last Sunday was our first of three Welcome Sundays. For years, certainly prior to the pandemic, our interest has been to take a good, honest look at our church core values in the month of September. And this is certainly a very exciting year to be doing this because we're able to invite our community into the conversations that our council and ministry team have been having the last number of years. These conversations have resulted in a refresh of our church values. It is so good. Church values have always been a central part of Living Waters Church. Our values have helped guide our intention and direction to serve locally and globally. Our values have helped us in all kinds of ways, helped us remain united when things have been trying to pull us apart, helped us problem solve, and given us courage and confidence to make many faith-inspired decisions over the years. Let me just say, within Living Waters Church, values have never been something our congregation has voted on. They don't show up in our policy manuals. Rather, our values are relational, and they offer an invitation for each one of us to consider how to lead a responsible Christian life, and equally as important is how to engage this beautiful Living Waters Church community. While you find this list of refreshed values on our website and now on the wall in the lobby in Fort Langley, our values are not only meant for a website or a wall. Values are a matter of the heart and need to take root in our lives, ultimately to bear witness of our love for Jesus and to people around us. And that's been the case for so many years at Living Waters. Here's a list of our refreshed values that we began introducing last week. These five values are certainly not everything that could ever be said about Christian community, and we understand that we don't always get it right. We do need an enormous amount of grace for one another as we talk about values, yet we feel that these values are our community's best shot at articulating what we think it means to be a community with Jesus in the center. These aren't just values we've decided that because we like them as a group. We've rather arrived at these values after a process of Bible study, considering our history and what we believe God has for us in the future, prayer and discussion. This is who we sense we are called to be as a Christian community. So here we go. Just like last week and next week, we'll hear from various team members and council members as we discuss our refreshed values. So let's hear now from Luke, Kirsten, and Jim as they talk about generosity and growing.
Thanks, Dave. And hi, folks. Good to be with you. My name is Luke. I'm on our pastoral team, and I'll continue sharing on our values today. Paul writes in Colossians, "Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Someone once said that stories are verbal acts of hospitality. So let me share a little bit of my story by way of entry into our core values discussion today. Sarah, my wife, we met here at church. We actually met at the early Tuesday morning prayer meeting. And I know that sounds almost sickeningly over-spiritual, but it is true. Early on, we also joined a life group with some folks who were further along than us in life. And that time was such a safe and formative time where early on in our relationship, we took a break each week from staring lovingly into one another's eyes to contribute and to receive richly in that group with other people. And I'll share more on what we received later because it's a really good story. But when it came time to plan our wedding, the church community played a really big part. We had seen actually how helpful core values had been for Living Waters over the years. And so we decided to create core values as a couple in order to plan our wedding. So as we sat down and over coffee, we developed five core values. And the wedding took shape from those, as did our sketch of life. And because we had discovered those core values together, all of a sudden, the mountain of decisions which needed making became manageable. Those values kept us on track. So when a tough call came along, we trusted our values to make a decision and the wedding had real roots. Core values made our wedding manageable and meaningful, and it led to some pretty good stories, like Sarah and her mother baking 1,000 cookies for all the people who attended. It led to a story of our flowers being arranged by the former butler to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. But that's another story for another time. That's what core values can do in a marriage, in a workplace, in a classroom, in a church, among roommates, you name it. Core values help make community life meaningful and manageable. They're not the be-all and end-all. For example, Living Waters core values aren't the authoritative text. That's scripture. What values can be, however, is a way of describing how a community is distinctly gifted to express itself in a unique place and a unique time. Values are both a reflection of a community and an invitation to a community into something more. Everybody has values, whether we say them out loud or not. But a lot of folks find that taking time to determine our values, to name them, is powerful and productive. So what are LWC core values? We heard this last week, but let me refresh just briefly. We are a community yielded to Jesus, shaped by Scripture, and dependent on His Spirit to faithfully follow Him. Our values remind us of what a community with Jesus at the center looks like and of the distinct ways in which Living Waters Church is called to be that community. So, we're a church like any other church. We're surrendered to Jesus. We're shaped by the Bible. We're reliant on the Holy Spirit. Our core values don't ask if we are Christian. They ask how we are Christian. How is this church at this time, in this place, working out our devotion to Jesus and to one another? They build on the foundation of what every Christian church must do, which is to worship Jesus and love one another, and invites us to get specific about the postures that we're going to take and the ways in which we will love Jesus and love one another. So last week, we heard about our five core values. But just a refresher, authenticity, community, generosity, growing, recognizing, and releasing. These are our five core values. Last week, Kirsten and Dave took us through the first two. So let's have a quick look at what those were before we build into the next two. Authenticity. We value authenticity because Jesus always draws us into truth. Humans, we heard last week, tend to hide. We creep around in the darkness. Jesus invites us into the light. We're not led into our truth, but the truth of reality, which is grounded in Jesus. So this value of authenticity invites us to trust and be open with God, and to dare to trust and be open with one another. When we hide, when we avoid the truth and one another, we end up isolated. It's a dangerous place to be, an unhealthy place to be. So we want to build bridges towards one another, not walls, which leads us to another value of community. We value community because belonging to Jesus means belonging with one another. It's impossible to be a Christian by yourself, or any kind of healthy human being, really. A prayer now and then with the odd podcast by myself at home. Friends, it doesn't cut it. It's not just me and Jesus. We are all tied up in this together. And that is so evidently clear in all of the Bible. In fact, Jesus says that the way that we love God, the way that we do that is by sharing with and loving one another sacrificially. So community can sound nice. It can sound like a pleasant idea, but it's really something quite serious. It's about rolling up our sleeves and committing to one another in love. And when we have that vision of community, what that means is community life is joyful. It's transformative. It's probably frustrating at times. It's fun. It's awkward. It's unknown. But it's us together. There's no other way to follow Jesus. Today, we're going to build on those two values of authenticity and community by looking at the next two. As you see, our core values are in alphabetical order. There's really no higher or lower priority. We just unpack them that way. Here's our next value of generosity. We value generosity because Jesus is generous. We want to be generous with one another because Jesus is generous with us. And since the good news of Jesus is for everyone, everywhere, we want to be open-hearted and open-handed, generous with our neighbors locally and globally. We're compelled by Jesus' love to serve and share with the capacity that the Holy Spirit gives. To hear a bit of his perspective on our value of generosity, here is our council member, Jim, to share.
The value of generosity to me is really about being open-hearted, and it's about sharing. I think of this beautiful community that we have here at Living Waters and how abundant we have of everything. Oftentimes, we think of generosity just from a money perspective, but it's more than that, where we can share our community, we can share the good news about Jesus, we can be open-hearted and be out in our community. And ultimately, really, I believe generosity is about flow-through. We don't own everything. It's all God's. And really for us, our opportunity is for us to be open-hearted and sharing and just being a flow-through to allow us to be able to give everything that we have. And that opportunity is so predominant here at Living Waters, in our beautiful community, in the generosity of everybody in the congregation. And I look forward to generosity throughout the next years as Living Waters continues to grow, as we get a chance to be able to worship in person, and just as we see these great community events for life groups and all the opportunities that we have to be able to share in our great community here at Fort Langley.
Thanks, Jim. Okay, so I know I said that we don't have higher or lower priority core values, but generosity, to me personally, is just so compelling. This value of generosity is rooted deeply in God's character. When we take in the rivers, when we take in the trees, when we take in a spoonful of something tasty, all of that stems to and points to God's generous provision. And that's why in Colossians, Paul writes to stay rooted in Jesus. We draw from Jesus all the plentiful nutrition that we need as individuals and as a community. He's the vine. We're the branches. Apart from Jesus, we are completely deficient. Consider how lavish God is depicted in Scripture. The opening of Genesis, the creation of a world full to the brim. In the Gospels, Jesus' first miracle, turning water into wine. It all points to the benevolence of God, not just in creation, but in Jesus' death, life, resurrection, and future hope. So many people have the wrong idea about God, that he's stingy and he's distant and he's unconcerned, a totally opposite point of view from the Bible, which speaks again and again of the unbelievable generosity of God. Getting to know Jesus is an exercise in gift receiving. He is the immeasurable well of life. So, if we've been taken in by this generous Jesus, if we want to follow this generous Jesus, we'll find ourselves rooted and built up in him, becoming, we think and hope, generous ourselves also. What we mean by generosity is not just what we financially practice or practically share with each other, because we need to give, we need to share what we have together in order to be a Christian community. But we also mean a generosity of spirit back to God and always towards one another. So when I'm short with you, when I'm short on change, we could say with you, when I've got a lack that needs up making in relationship, the generosity of Jesus can come pouring through you to me. Some of the earliest markers of Christian community in the first century was the unreserved benevolence within the church. When the destitute widows turned up, the church fed them. When famine hit a region, Christians donated to make sure that folks were taken care of, which is why at Living Waters, we're unapologetic about the funds, the gifts, the energy, and the time that we give together and that we invite one another into. We are compelled to help by showing the community and reminding one another that grace is a gift that can be tasted and felt. If you're new to Living Waters, I think you're going to enjoy discovering all the ways in which we contribute together, not as a drain, but as an overflowing gift to God and one another. And there's a few key areas in which we can do that that are coming up around the corner this fall and into the winter months as we get closer to Christmas, both through our global and local work. Now, I might not be all that generous on my own accord all the time. That's also why I need this value, to be reminded that Jesus' people are generous people, and to ask the Holy Spirit to give me a capacity for that attitude and activity of generosity. And you know what? Generosity is fun. Our experience as a church has been that when we're generous, joy follows really quickly. So we want to invite you this fall to take that value of generosity really seriously and really joyfully. Be generous with one another in spirit, in grace, in all the messy moments. Be generous with what we have, be it a little or a lot, and know that what we can do together under God's blessing will surprise us. The question we could ask ourselves today is, how is Jesus inviting me? How is Jesus inviting us to be generous this fall? Let's move on to our next value, growing. We value growing because we want to become more like Jesus. Jesus loves us enough to take us as we are, but too much to leave us as we are. We want to be rooted in Jesus, shaped by Scripture, and reliant on the Holy Spirit, expecting to mature in every way as we grow together. Here's Kirsten to share more on our value of growing.
What I love about our value of growing is that it reminds me that we're supposed to become like Jesus. And I love that it says that right in the value. I just think about how Jesus calls us to follow him, not just believe in him, but to follow him. And I love all of our values. I love our value of community and of generosity and of authenticity and of recognizing people into meaningful work. But if that doesn't actually cause us to grow, what's the point? The thing is that that's what makes us distinct, is that we're people who are becoming like Jesus. And when I think of Christian community, I think that it's a group of people doing just that, growing into knowing how much God loves them, growing into becoming less selfish, growing into knowing who God is. And when I think of a whole community of people doing that, I get really excited. I get really excited about what that is going to look like in our community and how much that will change us. And I get excited about us growing into the abundant life that Jesus has for us.
Thanks, Kirsten. So when you read the New Testament, you can't escape the earth, plant, growth imagery. The Bible, I like to say, is full of dirty language. We all grow. And when we don't grow, there's usually a problem. Growth is often about health. But growing as a Jesus follower, it's not like the self-help stuff we might find on a podcast or bookstore. It's not about getting a bunch of ideas or hacks to somehow work a little harder, think a little smarter, and make myself a little better. No, not at all. As this value says, we are taken in by Jesus. But Jesus has designs on us. And growth with Jesus, growth into his likeness, is going to mean watering from him, nurturing from him, but also pruning and shaping. He's going to do the work. There's a lot of societal messaging today that is that you and me are fine just the way we are. You don't need to change. You're perfect. And if anyone says otherwise, they're oppressing you. I'm not fine the way I am, though. I believe I'm designed to grow, designed to change, to be shaped, to be challenged, to be nurtured into maturity. There's even such a thing we know in our bodies as growing pains. That's what this value gets at. When you look at Jesus' disciples in the Gospels, these were folks who had a lot of growing up to do. They were petty and vengeful and overly self-interested. Now, they had some really good qualities too, but they needed growing up. So Jesus nurtured them, but he didn't treat them with kid gloves. Some of his most difficult words for his closest friends. But look at some of those same followers a few years later in the book of Acts. They're not fully formed. We never get there. Perfection isn't the goal, but maturity is. And we see people in Scripture who now look more mature, who look more resolved, who self-sacrifice, who are more gracious. They grew up to look a little more like Jesus. And so can we. No matter how old or how young we are, Scripture directs us. Jesus is our example and route, and his Holy Spirit does the work to change us for the better so that we mature in every way. I'm 37. I'm rapidly approaching midlife and well aware of it. I hope that I can get to 67, but who knows? But I don't want to just grow in number. I want to grow in maturity, in stature with Jesus. So we share growing as a core value here because Jesus takes us as we are, yes, arms wide open, all of our deficiencies, all of our foibles, but he loves us too much to leave us as we are. How do we grow? Well, it's not just more reading. It's not just more learning or just more effort on our part. As Rick shared a few weeks ago, real learning is about character shaping. And that happens, we believe, life to life. So we think that we grow, honestly, by turning up and giving ourselves a chance to grow one with the other. So we just got to say, Sunday is not the same as soccer practice or brunch. It's vital to come together, to pray, to sing, to share, to serve together in a diverse group like this that we haven't self-selected. We grow also by committing to intimate relationships, our friendships within Christian community through life groups and networks. So please take the opportunities that are available this fall to grow. And we grow by serving with Jesus, don't we? He didn't give his disciples a textbook and say, come back in 3 years, and when you've read it, then you'll be ready to do some of the work with me. No, he didn't give them homework. He actually invited them into an apprenticeship. Growth happens alongside Jesus right away. Some Christians are full of head knowledge and yet terribly deficient in hand knowledge. Maturing with Jesus is not an intellectual exercise alone. It is labor-intensive. It's hands-on. So if we want to grow this fall, let's find a way to serve. Maybe here at the church, there are so many areas that we can get involved in, be it an area we're gifted in or even an area we're not, but we just want to make sure that we're putting ourselves in a position to grow and to serve. Maybe in the community, there's lots of ways to find a simple touch point each week or once a month that you can serve in your neighborhood. Or maybe it's just about adopting Jesus' attitude of service in our homes, in our workplace. We might say to Jesus, I want to grow, and that has to do with serving sacrificially, so help me do that in my home, in my workplace, in my marriage, with my kids, with my roommates. Jesus, give me that attitude of growing in service. So the question we have for one another this fall is, how is Jesus inviting us to grow up this fall? Consider taking a moment this week and maybe even write that down and ask Jesus to help. Ask for the Holy Spirit to fill you and empower you to make you a nutritious plant. As we're growing, I think that we'll find ourselves, as Paul says in Colossians, overflowing with thankfulness. So, at the very beginning, I mentioned that when Sarah and I were dating and engaged, we were in this life group together with some older folks, both couples and singles. Great group. And I know marriage isn't everybody's story, so I share this with a little bit of reservation, but I have to share how our life group made such a difference in our lives. Because it was in a group like that where we experienced the values practically of generosity and growth. A couple of weeks before our wedding, the life group sat us down and they put two chairs in the middle of a living room and they said, "We're going to pray for you." And this wasn't one of those cute little formal moments, a nice prayer that everything would go smoothly and it just took a couple of minutes. No, they really prayed. They took quite a long time, one of those awkward lengths of time where you're a focal point in a moment and you really sense it. And that was such a growth moment for us because the stuff they prayed went deep. We got the feeling of how important, of how precarious, of how hopeful marriage could be. And to this day, I know that I could call on those same people for prayer and practical support. Once they had finished praying, they took it a step further and they actually put their money where their mouths were as a community. They didn't just invest in our spiritual growth, but they generously invested in our practical needs. Someone broke into that circle where Sarah and I were sitting and they shoved an envelope full of cash into our hands. And I mean full of cash. And they said, "We all pitched in and we want to make sure that you're taken care of." They said, "Make sure that you use this for something extravagant on your honeymoon. You need to know how much God smiles on you and wants to bless you." So there we sat, hearts full of prayer, hands full of cash. And I hope that Sarah and I can do something like that for another young couple someday when the time comes, when we're further along. Now everybody's thinking, what life group is that and how can I join it, right? Maybe for somebody in this room right now, you're 12 or 13 and in the future, we're gonna do that for you because belonging to this community that values growing and generosity is where Jesus has placed me. It's where Jesus has placed you. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives rooted in him and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
Thanks, Luke, Jim, and Kirsten. Over the course of the last 2 weeks, we've taken a good, honest look at authenticity, community, generosity, and growing. Next week, I'll be specifically speaking about a final message around the value of recognizing and releasing. Just allow me to make a few comments before we close in prayer. As has been alluded to the last 2 weeks, spiritual maturity has little to do with the number of birthdays we've had or even the number of years we've gone to church. Spiritual maturity comes along only as we live our lives yielded to Christ, thus allowing Jesus to influence every area of our life. If you read our values closely, the name of Jesus is found 21 times in our refreshed values because we want our community to be knowing the blessing and abundant life that comes as we obediently follow Jesus. We believe growing up in Christ and growing as a community is a call to action, and Luke has talked about that. As a church, we continue to notice that we are all at our best when we're showing up for one another, serving alongside each other, and giving generously. In summary, God has called each of us to be community builders and multipliers. Why is this so important? Because where we are today is not where God wants us to stay. God has so much more for you and I and us as a community. People matter. You matter. And God has called this church to go into all the world and make disciples. That's why I get so excited as I think about the influence that we can have in neighborhoods like Fort Langley and North Langley and the Willoughby and surrounding area. Friends, Living Waters is an awesome community. Come along with us. God is with us. He's blessing us. The enthusiasm and unity we feel these days is a gift from God. It's amazing. God is taking care of us. He's leading us. So let's continue to roll up our sleeves and get involved as a community builder, we have good, great days ahead. Let's pray. God, thank you for your presence. Your presence is with us, and it helps us imagine a future. We thank you that your Spirit is being poured out, enabling and equipping us to be values-led people, to be living lives with priority and renewed purpose and clarity. We do pray that you would help us roll up our sleeves and give ourselves wholeheartedly to the things that are important to you. And as we discover your heart more and more for one another and for the community around us, help us to make a difference in people's lives. Help us to see your work and your word go forth, even this coming week, as we draw near to one another and neighbors around us. God, our interest ultimately is that you would be glorified, and we know as you're glorified, it makes such a difference in our lives. It helps us. So bless us this week, in Jesus' name, amen.